I'm a shot in the dark, wary sort of spark. I'm a light that's too bright for me to see.
Welcome back to The Counter Position. I am your humble host, Andrew Whaley, here on Breadbox Media. All right, here we go, kids. Episode 175. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, the sound has a little bit of a different sound to it. Isn't he in a bunker somewhere in an undisclosed center of the new evangelization, hidden somewhere in the Rockies, not unlike NORAD? Yes, he is. But I'm on my interview setup. Why am I on my interview setup, you might ask yourself? It's like talking heads. You may ask yourself, why is he on his interview setup? All right, so the reason I'm on my interview setup is because I have a special guest, special treat. No, not Chris, special treat, Stefanik. A different special treat, but a similar treat. The lovely and talented Jim Ducky Laurent, ladies and gentlemen.
What's up? How y'all doing?
That's right. For all you listeners, the famous Ducky.
Infamous. I'm more than famous.
You are infamous. More than. You're infamous. I'm kind of infamous too. But I think I even have a segment title on one of my shows called Everybody Loves Ducky.
I think you did, yeah.
Yeah.
You mentioned me for like
everybody
like
loves
30
Ducky.
Seconds, and I was honored for that 30 seconds.
Well, that's not true. Hey, everybody that doesn't know Ducky loves him, but the rest of us, we're fond of him, but, you know, love might be a strong word. No, so my friend Ducky here and I have been friends for about 4 years.
Five, 6 years? Because it was in Fort Collins.
No, but I've only been here 4 years.
Well, then it's got to be 4 years.
Yeah. It was when I was living in Fort Collins.
Yeah.
So... let's see, I'm going to tell the story how we met, and it's going to make some people drink on the drinking game.
Playing
the drinking game.
I don't have a drink.
Get ready. Oh, get ready to drink if you got a drink.
All right.
Make
a slurping sound.
Yeah. One of the rules of the counter position drinking game is if I say the words Justin Schneer,
yes,
you have to drink.
Yes.
That doesn't count. That doesn't count. I was explaining the rules, so I don't want you to get too trashed here. So, Jim, I went to some bar to meet up with my friend Elijah White, who I went to Thomas Aquinas College with. And then some other people showed up, and there was this dude, Ducky, right? But he's like, hi, I'm Jim, because his name's Jim, right? And so Jim and I started talking, and I found out he went to Steubenville, and I'm like, I figured out when he was there, and I'm like, do you know so-and-so? Yeah. And he's like, do you know so-and-so? I'm like, yeah. Do you know so-and-so? Yeah. And then he's like, do you know Justin Schneer? I'm like, Justin Schneer is my best friend. And Ducky's like, Justin Schneer's my best friend. So after a debate over who was Justin's best friend, we became fast friends.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And Jim became my wingman.
Oh, yeah.
He's a really crappy wingman because I'm still single.
I know. Right? I don't know what I'm thinking about here, but
yeah, you're really
need to get better about that.
You're super dropping the ball, bro.
Dude, Andrew is so money, but he does know it. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Everybody needs to realize that he is money.
Every time Chris so comes on the show, he tries to make an appeal to the women of the Catholic world.
Seriously, ladies. Seriously.
He's like, if you have never had this man's cooking, he's like always making a pitch for my cooking.
Absolutely. If it's not the cooking that'll get you, it's the dashing good looks and the charm.
Well,
and that slick hair. That I'm
you know what?
Checking out right
you only
now.
Say it because it's true.
Pretty much.
See, I brought Ducky on, and I was like, you know, Ducky, okay, you got to just talk about how amazing I am, you know. He's like, what are we going to talk about? How amazing I am.
Yeah,
that's what
much.
We're going to talk about.
Yeah. He slipped me a 20 under the desk here. I don't know if you can't see that, though, so.
I was supposed to actually go to California this weekend for the Schneer.
We can't. Can we talk about that yet? Is this
No. Well, I guess we can. Because it's over, it's not going to happen. It got
canceled.
It's not
going to happen?
It got canceled.
Oh, no,
so we can act. So what I haven't been telling anybody on the air is that there was a surprise. There was a Schneer prize Schnegger for Justin Schneer. There was a surprise kegger for Justin Schneer this weekend, but it got canceled because Justin had back surgery and it went kind of south.
Oh, no, está bien.
Yeah.
Seriously, you had back surgery?
Yeah, back surgery. And
so you're obviously a better friend than I am because I don't even know this.
Yeah, I know. I've been consoling him on the
Justin
phone.
Justin Schneer.
Exactly. See, I think we've established who's Justin's best friend. Yeah, he had a back surgery, and it is this experimental, cool new operation that has like worked every time or whatever, and he got really mad inflammation, and it's not working for him, and it's like he's in a bunch of pain. And then, you know, pray for hope. Pray for Justin Schneer, and pray for Hope because she's having some trouble with her pregnancy, I think.
So, okay.
So this the side is just better just to let them recover and do their thing.
No, of course.
Yeah. So
plus, I wouldn't have been able to make it this weekend. So if they delay it to a later date, I might be able to actually go out.
So I think we just have to force a Schneer weekend on Schneer. We just all have to show up.
Yeah.
And be like, you're hanging out with us this weekend, and he goes, no, I have to go to all this stuff that Hope planned for me that was obviously all a lie that you made up so that I'd have the weekend free. I should just be sitting there smiling, tee-hee. All right, so I guess we shouldn't have talked about that because Justin listens to the show, but he won't know which weekend it is.
Well, I'll be honest. I was really tempted to go, but I honestly, a little bit of jealousy just kind of came into me. Actually, a lot of jealousy came into me. I have not seen Justin in California ever. One time I was out there like 8 years ago, for a family funeral, unfortunately. I went out there and I called him up and he was in Vermont. So yeah. I never even got a chance to see him in California. So honestly, I kind of want to go out there. Maybe just you and I, Willie, we'll hang out. We'll cook your famous tri-tip, you know, in the backyard.
Yeah.
Just have a little bit of selfish time with the schnizzle.
Oh, we might want to do that. The schnizniggle. The schnizniggy. I'm assuming that's an inside joke.
That's a Schneer one right there.
Yeah, there you go.
You haven't heard him do that?
No.
Oh, so that means I'm a better friend.
This is the Justin Schneer birthday show.
Yeah, dude.
So we're just going to talk about Justin the whole time. And me, I'm just going to bring Ducky on, and we're just going to talk about Justin the entire time.
Before the show, I was like, Andrew, what do we talk about? He's like, we just talk. And I was like, okay, we'll just let it roll.
Look, man, we just talk about our engagement with reality, and then we judge our experience, and we make a proposal. I mean.
Yes, throw down some G-Sonny,
baby. Oh, yeah. G-Ziggity up in the house. So the Duck here and I, you were living in Fort Collins.
Yeah.
And then I moved down to Denver to, which he's from, well, he's from Arvada.
No, you're from Aurora.
Aurora.
I don't know which is worse, honestly.
Yeah, you're from Aurora. He's not from Denver. He's from Aurora, which we all know. There are no tracks, but it's the other side of the
exactly.
tracks. Yeah. He's from El Barrio Aurora.
It's more like the ghetto.
But then I moved down here, and he was still living in Fort Collins. Mm-hmm. Briefly lived with Uncle Peaches, my uncle.
You call him Uncle Peaches, hilarious. I was homeless for about a month, and so I lived with Whaley's uncle for 2 weeks.
Yeah, shout out to Peach.
Yeah,
you know,
good man.
And then, so I was down here missing the Duck, no close friend in Denver.
Yeah,
and then finally, after about a year or so, the clouds parted, and Denver brought its son back home.
Yes.
And it's been a Homeric saga ever since then.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we even lived together for a couple months.
Yeah, yeah.
I still live with his stuff, so, you know.
I knew that was going to come up sometime.
The minute you put that mic on, you know for a fact that I'm going to tell everyone listening to the counter position that I can barely get out of my car because your stuff is still in my garage. Yeah.
Orale.
Yeah, so we've started a GoFundMe page. He doesn't know this. We've started a GoFundMe page for the Jim Laurent Storage Fund. We're going to try to get him a storage unit.
You can just pay my rent to be able to move back in with you.
Yeah, there you go. If you'd like to give Ducky stuff a home, just email me at thecounterposition@gmail.com, and we will we'll direct you to the link to give to the Jim Laurent Storage Fund.
Yes, please.
All right, so. What are you up to, Doc?
Oh, just
are you off today?
Yeah, today's my day off. I work an odd schedule. I got Tuesdays, Wednesdays off, so
Because you work for a leading financial institution, which cannot be named, right?
Exactly. I was telling Andrew I can't disclose my employer because social media prohibits it. But I work for a large financial...
This isn't social media. This is media.
I don't know what it is. It's not very social, is it?
Well, we're talking. I feel like we're having a very social time.
You have a drink. I don't have a drink. That's not very social.
You were in my...
counter position.
You were in my cafe when I asked you to be on the show.
I know. This literally just happened about... 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, I came in from going to get stuff, and Ducky was sitting in the cafe, and I was going to go do a show, and I was like, hey, come be on my show. What are we going to talk about? I don't know. We'll talk about something.
This is fun.
My listeners are totally used to this kind of thing. Oh, the first segment's always chatty. Well, you know, you're a listener.
Yeah.
Kind of, I guess.
No, I listen.
You listen?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. You figured out how to listen in your car. That's
I know, my old school car that has a CD player that doesn't work and a tape deck that works. I found at Best Buy a little thing that plugs into your tape deck.
That's what
you
I
plug
have.
Into your phone. Yeah,
that's so. What I have too. It's so ghetto too. It like makes all kinds of sketchy noises, so I don't use it. So I'm Leo, the founder of Breadbox Media, turned me on to, like, for $20 on Amazon, you can get this little speaker that sits in your cup holder.
Oh, okay.
And it's a little Bluetooth speaker, and it sounds great.
Okay, better than the radio.
Well, yeah, but mine just makes all that stupid cassette has never worked in mine. It just always makes all kinds of horrible noises and stuff.
Yeah, I got one online, actually. The Best Buy one's broke, so I got one online for even cheaper, and it's been better.
Okay, maybe I should just upgrade my cassette adapter.
/downgrade.
God, I got to upgrade that car is what I have to do. Yeah, so.
For real.
All right, so when we get back, we're going to find something a little less chatty to go into. Maybe we'll do some live CL talk. We'll show you what it's like to get down with the communion and the liberation. Right here on the counter position. That's what's going to go down. So, all right. So, well, let's go to the break. We'll be right back. You're listening to the counter position. See you on the other side.
Let my sacred word to mutter. Ran too fast and turned to butter. I'm a bit too much for me to chew.
Breadbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit breadboxmedia.com.
Let me skip across the pond. I'm an ocean on and on. I'm a fish with no bowl that I outgrew. Lift my blood. Only one on track.
Welcome back to the counter position. I am your humble host, Andrew Bailey, and I am here with my good friend Jim, the Duck Laurent.
The Lord Duck.
The Lord Duck.
As Paul Muckle calls me. If anybody who knows Paul Muckle should take a drink right now. He is a man, a myth, and a legend. God bless him.
Duck, Ducky, the Lord Duck, the Duck. Duckheimer, El Duckerino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing, man.
Good reference.
I thought of something that I needed to talk about whenever we got back. All right, so, well, we'll see what happens.
About CL or?
Yeah, I don't remember. All right, so, Jim.
Yes.
What has been... Jim and I are both in Communion and Liberation, or he actually takes part in Communion and Liberation. Mm-hmm. I just read Jazani and blabber on about it using the lingo that I don't understand.
You understand it.
And but we know we are both in different ways and kind of over the course of time in different in the same movement in the church called Communion and Liberation. And I think that they hear me talk that quote Jazani a lot. You know, we talk. Mm-hmm. I used kind of that mode of engagement with this raw engagement to reality and just mm-hmm. judging, kind of like, well, what was that like? You know. So, what's life like for you, Ducky? How's it been?
ACL or just life?
No, just in general. I mean, how have you found reality in the 30 something years?
Yeah, we'll talk about life through.
They're used to hearing about. They're hearing about life through the lens of a particular human person, me. Let's give them life through the lens of a different human person. Yeah.
A duck, okay.
Yeah, the
life
duck.
Life through the lens of a duck.
Life through
I can the title for this, life through the lens of a duck.
The duck on life.
Yeah. Gosh, I don't know. Lately, life's been good. Life's been good. Really, the biggest thing that stood out to me in the last few years, yeah, since we're even talking about CL anyway, but What I love about CL and how it's helped me is just changing the way I perceive my life and I perceive reality. For instance, when I was working for the Archdiocese of Denver, if I'm allowed to say that, I don't know. You have to bleep that out.
Well, what
are they? I don't know.
Why would
I know I? Another podcaster who has to bleep out his workplace. But
really?
But now I am not working there, so I guess I can talk about it. But basically, I mean, I have a theology degree from Franciscan University of Steubenville, also a minor in speaking in tongues and playing guitar in the field. Ching. That's Andrew's favorite joke about Steubenvillians.
See,
I just stole it.
He had to steal
I played
my
Zeus
thunder.
And I stole your thunder, dude.
That was... Zeus didn't steal thunder.
I don't know.
See, that was in an old Greek.
I didn't go to TAC.
Right, that was in an old Greek book that we read in TAC that you evidently don't at Steubenville.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, that really worked out well. I'm glad you brought that up.
I just proved Andrew's point. Dang it. He's always right.
I mean, I'm not stealing fire from the gods. I'm not Zeus
not
or
Prometheus.
Something. Prometheus. That good.
Boom.
That was Prometheus. But you just stole the fire from the show, you Promethean devil, you. All right, so you went to, you got a theology so degree from San Francisco.
From San Francisco.
From San, whatever it's, whatever San, that school out there. What's it called?
San Juan Capistrano.
So you have a degree from FU.
Yeah, from FUS. Anyway, so the point of that really was, I mean, like, I've got a theology degree. I did a lot of different odd jobs after college, even working for the city and county of Denver doing food stamps administration. But I always wanted to get back into theology after spending some time working in fundraising. I kind of realized, you know, I really wanted to be at the archdiocesan level, you know, and I thought this was going to be like the height of my career is reaching, working at the archdiocesan level, worked in civil parishes doing RCIA, religious education, et cetera. So I finally got a job basically coordinating
right,
all the...
Right, let's back up and slow, right. In slow
I'm
roll
trying
that.
To like, I have such a long job history.
Let's
trying to
slow roll. Let's
it.
Slow roll that transition, though. So Jim gets a gig at St. Joe's.
In Fort Collins.
You're doing theology. You're working in RCIA. You're doing this stuff. And then the church and the school get taken over by nuns. Literally, it was a violent takeover. There was a siege. We had, like, you know, they had, like, catapults throwing nuns up over the wall and stuff. No, but it was... Exactly. Yeah. It's like, oh, yes, it's very nice. So there's nuns flying over the wall. The school and this church got... The administration of it in the school and the teaching of it and all that was taken over by an order of nuns. Mm-hmm. And someone with a vow of poverty is dramatically cheaper than someone that needs a roof over their head.
Frankly,
and
yeah.
Jim got the boot.
I got the boot.
And so, but then after much suffering.
Yes.
And much search, you landed and you had pretty much the same gig for the entire diocese that you had in this church.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, yes!
I know.
It was like a Braveheart scream. I was like, yes, I was so excited.
I know,
yeah,
it was
he's
amazing.
Finally going to get to put that minor in speaking in tongues and playing guitar out in a field to good use.
No, it's for real. I mean, I was stoked. I was like, this is what I wanted to do for so long, you know? I never thought I'd actually get to the archdiocesan level, just to be able to affect so many, you know, programs and help people throughout the archdiocese. But I also, at the same time, I missed, you know, the Marine grunt work, you know, being on the ground with the troops, actually teaching the faith. Mm-hmm. So I volunteer with my friend, Tomas Fuerte, and he's going to be a new, hopefully he'll listen.
Anyway, Tomas Fuerte.
Tomas Fuerte, Tommy Strong.
I don't think Tomas would like my show.
He would like it.
I rip on.
I'll tell him to listen to this one.
I rip on the Skojic wing of the church pretty often, and he's all getting all tight with the traddies over there.
No, he is, but you know.
I love Tomas though.
Tomas is amazing. So anyway, I still volunteer with him, you know. But anyway, the point is, I got to where I wanted to be. Been there for about just a little less than a year, and. The thing is that it was a restructuring of the restructuring of the office, and I was on the chopping block. You know, a lot of other different things, truth be told. You know, it just maybe wasn't the best position for me to be at. So I needed work, and I got a job at Netflix answering phone calls for people who had one of two problems. Either they didn't pay their bill, and they're wondering why their Netflix was shut off, or two, their internet doesn't work, and so they said that we broke the website. I had to correct them and say there's nothing wrong with a website. It's how the website is transmitted through the internet connection to your house.
You broke my Google.
No, seriously. Seriously,
people. I gotta watch Tim Google's up on the TV. Though.
People just do not. I had to remind myself we're dealing with the 0.2% of society that doesn't know how the internet works. And so you just have to be patient and listen to them. But that was actually a really good time for me.
You interact with people like that, and you realize how Trump is the presumptive nominee of the Republican Party.
Heavens to Betsy.
I don't even want to talk about politics. Yeah. I'll get distraught.
Yeah.
So you
I'm voting for yours truly, so.
Yeah, I'm voting for yours truly, too. Yeah. Well, I'm with you folks. See,
great movie.
Jim and I are... devotees of the Coen brothers.
Yes.
Which I have to say, and I mea culpa in advance to anyone who thinks that I'm a true Coen brothers fan, I haven't seen Hail Caesar yet.
I haven't either. Actually, I saw the DVD thing on TV the other day. I was like, oh my gosh, I got to see that. Let's get together and watch it.
All right, yeah, let's get one.
I've heard it's really good.
I've heard it's amazing.
It looks like a classic Coen brothers.
We should watch it over the weekend at the house or something.
All right,
cool. So it's a date. You heard us. We made a date. Hey, ahoy, sailor. We're going to have a date this weekend. Hope my girl doesn't get jealous. Hope your girl doesn't get jealous. Mm-hmm.
Shenay-nay.
Jimmy found love.
Shenay-nay. What's up? Did I ever tell you about the text I got from some random person? Oh, I should find it. It's hilarious. This random person just texts me and says, "What's up, big head? You coming home this weekend?" I was like, "What?"
What's up,
so I just decided I'm just going to play with this person. So it says, "Who this be?"
That is amazing.
And then he texts back,
"What's up,
this
big
is
head?
Kiara. Who this be?" I was like, "This Shenay-nay." I just had the best time with this person, just messing with him.
Oh.
Anyway.
So, I shouldn't have clapped. That probably made big noise. Big noise.
Big money.
So besides messing with people on text, what are you doing these days?
So, that sounds like a leading question that I don't know where it should lead, but should I want to finish my point.
About
where I'm at in my life right now.
Yeah, yeah, first finish that, yeah.
So basically,
If you could finish it in like 30 seconds, that'd be great. I'm kidding. You have 2 minutes.
But. Okay. I'll go quick here. The point was that, I needed a job. I've always been a type, I'd much rather just have a crappy job than nothing at all. And so the Netflix job, even though it was crappy, I think it was an opportunity for God to kind of come in and say, I am still here too. Because I would go to him and I would say, "Lord, where are you? Where the hell are you in Netflix? This sucks. I freaking hate this job. The people I'm with, they would literally get high on their break in their cars and come back to work stoned. Thugs. It was just a freaking horrible job. But I knew God gave me a new perspective at that point to realize it's not as much the job that is important, but my position in front of that job and how I approach my work.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, that was a stepping stone to where I'm at right now in my financial institution.
Leading financial
institution. Because, I'm dealing with clients over the phone, but it's a lot more complicated, obviously, than internet connections on Netflix. But to get into that kind of work to people over the phone.
Do you ever forget which job you're at and go, "Did you try turning it off and turning it back on?" "Oh, I'm sorry. Wait, but that was my last job."
When I first started,
your 401k is in good hands, sir. Let's have a look at it.
No, at first I did answer a few phone calls. He says, "Thanks for calling Netflix." He says, "This is
leading financial institution."
This is leading financial institution in Southern Colorado.
"Thank you for calling leading financial institution." That's spectacular. That's going to be the name of this show. Leading financial institution with Ducky Lorette. All right.
Two working titles.
And on that note, I think we should probably head off to the break because we're not going to have time to do anything else. So, all right. So we're going to take a little snooze so that you can listen to some ads, and then we'll be back in a second. See you on the other side.
Then how we crave a hanging in the dark.
Breadbox Media invites you to Bless the Yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit breadboxmedia.com.
People singing, please don't sting, but please don't go.
Welcome back to The Counter Position. I am your humble host, Andrew Whaley, here on Biggity 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 Breadbox Media.
Yes.
Check yourself before you wreck yourself.
I'm always like Breadbox. People figured out what Breadbox Media was. People thought I was saying Redbox Media. And I had to be like, no, this is Breadbox, not Redbox.
You don't go to McDonald's to get a podcast out of the dollar machine.
Right. You're like standing in front of this red box outside of McDonald's going, I want to get me one of them podcasts.
Where that Whaley at?
I looked for him out on the Googles, but I couldn't find him.
I watched 40 Shades of Grey or Andrew Whaley. I
couldn't get that VCR hooked up to watch them Googles.
Going back to Netflix, there were people who says, I have this movie, I don't know where to return it. I'm like, we're not the same thing as that machine outside of McDonald's. So you need to go back to McDonald's.
It's red and your logo's red.
That was the thing. People called Netflix thinking we were okay. Netflix.
And this is how bad it is. I have a friend, I know this is going to shock everyone, I have a friend who was a Starbucks barista. I know.
Oh my gosh.
I know. It was an evangelical relationship. It was, you know, I was trying to convert them. But and I was bitching about people coming into my independent craft coffee bar ordering off the Starbucks menu without looking at my menu, which I'm still fired up about today. I got a Starbucks thing to talk about today. But and he was like, "Oh yeah? Do people come through your drive-thru and try to order off the McDonald's menu?" Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no. He's like, every morning.
Really?
People are coming to get coffee, and they wanted breakfast, and they forget which drive-thru. And they're next to each other half the time.
That's funny.
Because think about like the one right by the seminary, Wahoo's Fish Tacos.
Oh, yeah, we'll get a Wahoo.
McDonald's across the street.
Yeah.
You turn into the same street to get to each drive-thru.
What if people get Wahoo's Tacos at Starbucks?
That would be great. That'd if be you weird. Could, like, I would go through the drive-thru at Starbucks
orange
if I could.
A macchiato frappuccino with a.
Can I get.
With the fish taco.
Yeah, can I get two fish tacos with the citrus slaw?
Yeah.
Would you like coffee with that? I'm not drinking your coffee. Yeah. I just want my tacos. Leave me alone. But it turns out people go through the drive-thru and they're like, "Hi, welcome to Starbucks. What can I get started for you?" And they're like, can I get an Egg McMuffin? Can I make that a value combo with the that orange juice? Awesome. Sir, you're at Starbucks. I just want, well, you know what I mean. No, sir, I have no idea what you mean. But I mean, think about it. People come into my shop. Don't even look at my menu and go, yeah, can I get a caramel macchiato, skim milk, extra hot?
Venti.
Venti caramel macchiato, three pumps of vanilla. Yeah, I'm like, dude, that's like walking in the Park Burger up here on South Pearl going, hey, this is beautiful, man. I like this. Can I ask a Big Mac?
Yeah.
But no one would do that. But with coffee, they do it all the time. I had this little group of people come in today for a conference meeting in the shop, and three of the ladies walked in with Starbucks. I'm like, you show up at someone else's coffee house and you stopped and got a big Starbucks coffee on the way here. We have a 5-star Yelp review. It's like, I mean, we do a good job.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's my gripe about Starbucks. Okay, so.
What about Dunkin?
The Bible says we shouldn't even be talking about the things that are done in darkness.
anyway, we won't go there.
Yeah.
Who are we gonna say?
Ducky likes Dunkin' Donuts coffee. Just because Dunkin' sounds like duckin'.
Yeah.
He thinks that it's a duck.
It was more because it was an East Coast thing. We could only get it when I was living out in Stupidville. So.
You said it, I didn't.
Stupidville.
So, I think that you said something super important. It's something I'm even today after I had a little bit of a freak out over something today, I was just... It's not the job. It's how you can be present, how you can be in front of the job, how can you approach it, how you can let the job be a way that you kind of engage reality. Mm-hmm. And I kind of constantly have to keep that up. And there's people that I'm friends with that are way better baristas, way more legit in the craft coffee world. I'm thinking of like Jason Farrar and Ryan Fisher from Commonwealth. L, I'm always talking about L. L, the lovely and talented, gorgeous, hospitality incarnated itself, L. Taylor, Amethyst Coffee. All these people I know and love that are so much better at this than I am, and they're at the whole barista thing and the whole coffee thing. And they're just like, someone comes in, they're like, hey, can I get a vanilla latte single shot, you know, extra hot, whatever. They're just like, okay, great. I'm going to make you the best version of that drink I can possibly make, mm-hmm. right? And they're just there to be there for the person. And it's funny, I have all this, you know, and you know, some of those people have theological reasons behind how they treat people as well. But here I am, this person with this apostolic calyx. It's not about the coffee. It's not even about the place. It's about the community and the persons. And I can just go off if someone doesn't fit into my little rubric of how I want to do my craft. Hmm. I mean, I get it. I mean, I know why I do that, because I work hard at it and I care about it.
Yeah.
But when someone won't let you do what you do, and they're trying to, you know, it's kind of like if you went into some, like a pizza place, and you're like, okay, could I get a pizza? Great. What would you like? I like ground beef on the pizza. Okay. Well, but could you not put any sauce on it? Okay. No sauce. Ground beef pizza, no sauce. But could you just kind of like make two really small pizzas and kind of put them on top of each other? Just, and I just want the cheese and the beef in between the two, like crust. Okay. Now could you put like pickles and mustard and ketchup and onion on that? Sir, it sounds like you want a hamburger. Yeah, that's exactly what I want. Yeah. Well, why didn't you go to McDonald's? You don't want my business? It's like, yeah. Well, you came to my shop and you're trying to force me to do something I don't do, right?
Yeah.
That's an extreme example.
No,
but people do that all the time. You know, they're like, can I get a turkey except without the turkey and like with some pizza? And it sounds like you want a pizza, you know? So, but ultimately, I have to stay in front of that and just go, okay, it's not about what's happening here. It's not about what this person thinks they want. It's not about what I want to make. It's about my relationship with God, my relationship with this person, and my relationship to be present, my ability to be present to them and to somehow be a conduit
mm-hmm.
for that vertical relationship somehow,
yeah.
just by serving. That's hard.
No, it's extremely hard, yeah. And it's extremely hard talking to people about banking issues over the phone when all they want to do is, you know, gripe about how their debit card got shut off while they're in Madagascar because they didn't tell us they're going to be there, you know. So it's hard to be generous and kind to a person who doesn't get what you're doing or doesn't appreciate what you're doing. So I agree with you.
I got snitty with a person on the phone at a leading financial institution recently.
Yeah.
Not your leading financial institution.
Yeah.
My leading financial institution, U.S. Bank.
Mm-hmm.
Because, as my listeners know, the state of California, for the fourth time, decided just to empty my bank account for the 2005 tax return, which they have. But they just haven't processed yet.
Yeah.
And each time they do this, they apologize and give it back. And U.S. Bank keeps $100 as a fee. And I'm like, I didn't do this. They said it was a mistake.
I'll just close your U.S. Bank account.
Well,
that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, so there. Look at him. He's trying to convert me.
Yeah,
you
can come to
leading
financial institution in Southern Denver area.
This is totally going to be the name of this episode. Leading financial institution with Ducky Laurent.
Yes.
I think it's even, maybe it's harder. I think it would be harder for you because you have zero connection, just the voice on the line.
No, I think
and
it is
so
a part
practical.
Of it. Yeah, I think that's part of it too. But I think people, that wall that exists between you, that virtual wall of the phone. You know, I've even thought it myself, like when I called, you know, Comcast or whatever, that I'm upset about my cable. I got to remember, this is a human being on the other side. I shouldn't take out my frustrations on this human being.
Right.
But I think people feel that, you know, because there's this virtual wall, it dehumanizes in a certain sense, you know. But it's difficult. But again, yeah, that's the point of, I guess, what I'm saying is you have to constantly position myself, you know, and say, Christ, where are you in this? Christ, where are you? Where are you in this individual on the other line of the phone? Because I can create that virtual wall too and just create them as a transactional person,
right.
You know? And that's difficult, extremely difficult.
Well, I mean, in some sense, I mean, even Aristotle would say that there's sometimes you have a friendship of utility.
Yeah.
Where there's nothing wrong with being pleasant to someone, getting done what they need done as quickly and efficiently as you can, and thanking them and moving on. I mean, they needed their bank card turned back on. They're obviously frustrated. Don't blame them. They're stuck in Madagascar and they, you know, don't have a way to get any money.
Yeah.
You know, and they're probably kicking themselves for like, well, I guess I did need to tell my bank, but, you know. That being said, I mean, if I put my PIN number, I guess you could steal PIN numbers from like sliders and stuff like that. But
yeah,
I had the opposite happen. I called up to just kind of try to cancel my flight and change it to another flight for this weekend for Schneer's thing, right? For Justin Schneer's thing, drink. I got a call center. Sounded like somewhere like in the Philippines or something, probably for United. And this lady, I was like, hey, how are you doing tonight? Good, how are you? You know, it's kind of nice to her. Hey, so I was supposed to go to California. I didn't say, I have to cancel a flight. I said, I'm supposed to go to California this weekend for a surprise birthday party for my best friend. And he had a back surgery and it kind of went south and we had to cancel it. And I'm not going now. Is there any way we can change his flight to later in July or something? And she's looked at it. She goes, yeah, it's going to be like a $200 change fee.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm like, okay, well, you know, maybe I'll just go. I was thinking maybe I'll just go on the trip and just go hang out and do something. And she's like, you know what? You've been so nice. I'm just going to give you your money back. So she just refunded my money.
That is awesome.
Yeah, she was just like, she just saw a person that, she's like, it's not, she said, it's not your fault. You were trying to do something. You were putting yourself out, going all the way there and back in a weekend just to be there for someone special moment.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to give your money back.
And I guarantee you're going to remember that, and you're going to use that here in the future.
All right. I also remember that it's time to close this segment down, and we'll be right back in a second. You're listening to The Counter Position.
Then all the colored glass, that painter's palette smash, all the colors of my soul.
Breadbox Media invites you to Bless the Yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit breadboxmedia.com.
I'm a hyena laughing fool. I'm a hero without anyone to save. Love decked myself in toys. I'm a poor and kingly boy. Oh, I'm lovely. Oh, I'm lovely. And I'm done.
Welcome back to The Counter Position. I am your humble host, Andrew Whaley. And it is the fourth segment, the final lap. The fat boy shot putter is trucking around the final loop of the open mile at the track meet. You know, just I always gripe about that.
Oh, I remember, yeah, I've heard you say that.
It's like, yeah. My coach made us fat guys run the open mile. Like, I came to someone else's school. I met girls that I've never seen before. They're checking me out. I'm checking them out. Gonna get kind of good, maybe. Hey, what's up, baby? You know? And after I've shown myself with feats of physical strength by throwing discus and shot put, they go, oh, hey, that thing that you suck at, do that and be last again while all these people watch. I think that was child abuse. I think I am going to go back and sue North County High School for abuse.
I sucked at hurdles. I did that in middle school. I tripped over the hurdles every freaking time.
Wait, you were a hurdler?
No, I wasn't a hurdler, but they made me do the hurdles. I was great at like that, like the straightaway run, like sprints. I killed
really?
Kick bucket at that, yeah. But oh my gosh, could not hurdle for the life of me.
You're so like, many you're like that,
on
you're,
my shins from that.
You're like that dwarf in you're like that you're like the dwarf in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Dwarfs are natural born sprinters, but we're lost on long distance, or we're wasted on long distances.
Yeah.
So Ducky is a. Not quite the man of substance, but that I am. But
you
a man
me
of
fat?
But a man of substance.
Are you calling me fat on air?
I'm calling you a man of substance.
I got the chubs.
I'm it's calling okay. you a man of substance.
I got the chubs.
Ducky is a man of substance. Like so, I get that. You know, I'll tell you where I got that. I always say man of substance. Frank Hogerby. Shout out to Frank Hogerby. Back in Columbia, Missouri, in the mid '90s, told me about. You know, and I was like, you know. I don't know, 80 pounds lighter than I am now, but still a big guy, you know? Mm. And he was telling me that in his high school, they didn't have any kind of cheerleaders for the volleyball team. So these guys decided they were going to be like the pep squad cheerleaders, like for the volleyball team. And it was all the biggest guys, and they called themselves the Men of Substance.
Nice.
And they would show up and wear matching bright colored shirts and just scream and yell at the top of their lungs. And once a month, they would all meet at this one steakhouse. It was like all you could eat. And they would just, all these huge guys would pile around this table and just eat a ton of steak and food and stuff.
Yeah, dude.
And they were like the Men of Substance. It's like,
you know about the Funny Fat Kid Club?
No.
Schneer never told you about the Funny Fat Kid Club? Okay, we got to give a shout out to my Funny Fat Kids out there. You know you're a funny fat kid when you order anchovies on your pizza just so no one else will eat it. You know you're a funny fat kid when you look at the Grand Canyon and all you can think of how is how you can fill that up with a whole lot of cereal.
Funny fat kid.
Dude, it's not about being fat. It's not even about being funny. It's about your attitude towards your food. So, yeah, Funny Fat Kid Club. You got to ask Schneer about that.
All right. So, shout out to Justin Schneer and the Funny Fat Kid Club. I think I would definitely be a part of the funny
fat
kid.
Oh, you are. Yeah, you're a funny fat kid.
I'm definitely a funny fat kid. I was, in fact, a literal funny fat kid.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the essential funny fat kid is Chunk from Goonies.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Goonies.
He is the funny fat
kid. Dude, I haven't seen Goonies in so long.
I love that movie, dude.
They just played that on the big screen, like over at the Esquire or something not too long ago.
Right. Or was it at the Red Rocks?
Yeah, yeah, Red Rocks. Yeah, Goonies, yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, that would have been awesome.
We missed the Big Lebowski over there.
I have never been to the Big Lebowski at Red Rocks.
Yeah. We should do that.
We should totally do that.
Yeah. That's every like Monday night.
That's a second date.
Oh, yeah.
Ahoy, sure. Sailor.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Thought we weren't going to. Never mind.
I see where you're going with that.
Yeah.
We'll just leave that alone.
Yeah.
All right. So. I got a shout out that I have to do. Let it be known to all who listen to the counter position, that Antoinette Golish, shout out to Antoinette Golish. Antoinette Golish came into my shop a week or two ago, and I was ready to jump off a cliff. And I was just all stressed out and in a horrible mood. And Antoinette Golish used her charm and listening skills and general shininess to talk me down off the ledge. Gave me a hug, and I felt better. So,
good.
And I told her I was going to give her a shout-out for it.
Nice.
And I forgot to do it, and then she called me on it.
All right.
There is, let it be known, the shininess of the lovely and talented Antoinette Golish talked me off the ledge.
Good for you, Antoinette.
There you go. So there's a talk.
I met Antoinette at the last Getting Grilled.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She's a sweetheart, isn't she?
Yeah, she's a nice girl.
Yeah, I'm a fan. Yeah, she comes in the shop all the time. I'm a fan of her. Her whole family's great. It's a good time. Me and Perry went to her birthday party down at Butcher Bistro. Dude, if you're in Denver, Colorado, Butcher Bistro. Oh, so good. It's what it sounds like. It's a butcher shop that's a bistro, and they specialize in naughty bits.
Nice. And is it like Choice City up in Fort Collins?
No, way more hipster and way artsier than that. It's like, it's good. Yeah.
I gotta give a shout out to that place. Best hamburger I've ever had in my entire life.
Choice City's great. We used to go there all the time. Okay. I love it when you go up and you go, I think I'm gonna get the Philly cheesesteak. And give me a cheesesteak. And he picks out a ribeye that he's gonna start slicing to make your cheesesteak.
Mm.
You're like, okay, this is worth $10 for the combo.
The best hamburger I've ever had in my life.
Yeah, they do a good job.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I'll give a shout out to Choice City.
Yeah. And some of the best beer selection for the craft beer fans out there.
Oh yeah, those guys are.
Did they rank like ninth on the list of like best beer restaurants in America?
Yeah, they're serious beer geeks up there.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Unfortunately, me and my arthritic situations, I can't have beer very often, alas. But I'm back to drinking wine after my 30-day.
Good, you're done with your fast? Your fast, whatever it's called.
Diet. Yeah, yeah. I had to drop like 30 pounds. And
killer,
or
man.
28 pounds.
Good for you.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
Shout out to Andrew Whaley, everyone.
That's right. Seriously, shout out to me. Pounds. I should give myself a shout
out. That's legit.
Yeah,
well. It's like a pound a day.
Yeah, here's the sound. Hear the sound?
There you go. Pat on
that's
the back.
Me patting myself on the back. Right. So, all right. This has been a very chatty show. Let's get serious.
All right.
Okay, we're talking about how reality is for you. I mean, kind of how your life shows up for you, you know?
Mm.
So what have you learned in the last 5 years? I mean, if this all was for, you know, they say that God works for good, you know, works all things for the good of those who love him.
Mm.
You know, so even the stuff, even I was reading Father Jacques Philippe the other day, and he was saying everything, all the stuff that happens to us, even our sins, God works for the good of us. And I, my own life, I can look back and go, okay, some of that good was I learned some lessons that I can now stop repeating that pattern and then make a good decision next time at least. So what have you learned from the last 3, 4, or 5 years?
Gosh, good question. Generally speaking, just gosh, a couple things. I mean, through CL, honestly, a lot of it really just has helped me to focus on where Christ is happening now. How is Christ happening in my life now? And work was one of those mediums through which it came to me, but also just my own personal life. I mean, I struggle with anxiety. I have for a long time, you know, get personal here. But a lot of the anxiety, and if those of you who might suffer through this, I think a lot of it is about control.
Right.
And if I can control it, then I'm in charge of it and it won't bother me. But I've also realized to let go and let God, you know, and realize that it's this reality that I have made for myself by which I do X, Y, and Z. If I am in control of this, then this will happen. Or if I try to manage reality according to my terms, then everything will be better.
Right.
Instead of realizing that I don't make reality, I don't make my own reality. Reality happens. Reality happens. And so all I need to do is pay attention to it and see where Christ is leading me through it. Mm-hmm. And the reality is that I have had job losses and financial troubles and all these horrible things, but a lot of amazing, beautiful things. But Christ is there in the middle of all of it. And that's the reality that exists as it is much more interesting and much more fascinating than the one I could ever even possibly make up.
It's kind of like, I think if I could say something I've learned, or at least I haven't learned. I see it's true, but I haven't learned it, if that makes any sense. I don't practice it. I can't, when this shows up, I can't do it. But then in hindsight, I go, oh, there's that thing again. Mm-hmm. Remember, duh, you know that. It's kind of like in the Old Testament when, is it the prophet Elijah? Is like up and it goes up in that cave, and there's a big giant mm-hmm. earthquake.
Yeah.
And then there's this huge fire, and there's all that stuff going on. It's over the top. And then there's a strong wind. But God wasn't in any of those. And then in the silence afterwards, there's this still small voice, you know? Well, it's almost like, you're in your cave, the cave of your life. And it was like, there's the big, huge thing that's good. But God wasn't really in that as much. Mm-hmm. And there was this huge setback, but that wasn't it either. And all the stuff that we think our life is about, if we were to point to all these points that were the most important milestones in our life, it was actually in the pale, mundane moments yeah. in between those. Where you say, hey, God, where was like the best moment of my life? And he was like, oh, it was this Wednesday afternoon at about 2:45 when you were just sitting there bored on the front porch smoking a cigarette. And if you'd have just been present for just a second, I was trying to unload all of the love of the Father on you like a son.
Wow.
But you were just kind of too busy with worrying about it not being a big peak or a big valley, you know?
No, dude, that's huge.
Yeah.
That's huge, and I think that's amazing insight.
Yeah, but I don't live it though. But
well, yeah, nor do I all the time. But that's again why this is so important to learn how to pay attention to it.
All right. Well, man, that went fast. So
yeah, we got to the good stuff late.
Yeah, we always do. I always do on my show.
You'll have to invite me.
All right.
Show.
Come on back out again. Yeah. So thanks for coming out, Duck. Ladies and gentlemen, the lovely and talented Jim Laurent. Pray for my friends Hope and Justin. And thanks for coming out. Let's pull the plug. Pop the cork on another episode of The Counterposition. See you next time.
I take your place, marble stone. I take your place, marble stone.